I'm going to talk this evening about another character in Scripture who has only a bit part. And that is Trophimus the Ephesian, or Trophimus the Asian, or just Trophimus. I think there are three references to this character of whom we know very little. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, we read, "And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia." Again, it's only a little reference. Clearly, he is a member of the early church. Clearly, he is a useful member of the early church. He's with people who are active for the Lord. He doesn't just sit at home all day. He has something to share with people. He has an apostle to support in his ministry. And we're told there in that fourth verse, he is of Asia. Now, I'm assuming that the three references to Trophimus are all of the same individual. They might not be. The fact that we're told here he's Trophimus of Asia would rather indicate there's a Trophimus of somewhere else whom Luke wishes to distinguish. But I'm going to assume it is all the same person. And then over the page or two in chapter 21 and 29, this is to do with Paul being arrested in the temple. "For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in that city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple." So he's a useful man. He's also a rather mobile man. He does seem to travel around rather a lot. Paul was a great traveller, and evidently some of his supporters travelled with him. Here is a man who seems to have landed himself, if not the Apostle Paul, in some bother. But I get the impression that Trophimus, the Ephesian, which was considered that would have rendered him an Asian, was a useful man. Somebody, if you wanted to begin a mission or you wanted some support, he's probably one of the men you would want on the team. Evidently, Paul held him in high regard. And then there is a third reference to him, this time in 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy, and again, Trophimus warrants a mention. Like the two in the Acts of the Apostles, we're not given very much detail about him. He is really, he plays a small role, at least in the records of Scripture. So verse 19 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren." So in verse 20, we have our third reference. I think it is Trophimus the Ephesian, or Trophimus from Asia. We know that he's useful. We know that he's prepared to travel for the gospel. And yet in this third reference we find to him, he is immobile. And in one respect, he doesn't appear to be very useful. The problem, therefore, in one respect we have is, why has he been left sick? Now, we know that God can heal. We know that God does heal. We know that in the New Testament church, of which Trophimus was a part, God wasn't just a healer, but he used healings as part of the signs and wonders which were then prevalent to support the preaching of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul had no shortage of faith when it came to praying for healing. He had healed, or rather God had used him to heal people before. I imagine that Paul had prayed that Trophimus would be healed and restored, and yet he wasn't. To such an extent that this man who follows him around, who travels with him, who is a partner in the gospel, who is a comrade, Paul actually leaves him behind. Paul doesn't feel it's appropriate that he can stay there, but neither is Trophimus well enough or strong enough to go with him. And so he is left behind. And again, it is in one respect a throwaway comment. He was sick and left behind. Big deal. I'm sure there are worse places to end up than Miletus. And that is where Trophimus was. And yet the Holy Spirit, when inspiring the apostle to write to Timothy, decided that this little detail was to be included and preserved. What made him ill? We don't know. Did he recover? We don't know. Did Paul pray for his healing? I imagine he did. But again, we don't know. It might be worth wondering, why was Trophimus, of all the people who were so willing to travel, so willing to go, so willing to help, to aid and support Paul, why on this occasion has the Lord in his good providence allowed him to become sick and not allowed the healing? Well, we don't know. That's the easy answer. And yet we know that God can use difficulty and trial for a greater purpose. It might be that the Lord wanted a clear witness to the gospel in Miletus, but he also wanted Paul to be elsewhere. From what I know of Trophimus from Acts 20 and 21, he was willing to go anywhere with Paul. Even when at the temple he's in a great deal of bother, he's not going to allow that to put him off. And it might be that this particular sickness God was able to use in order to keep him there. It might be there are people in Miletus who came to Trophimus and they heard the gospel from him, and they might not have heard it had his good health allowed him to continue with Paul. The other possibility, of course, and there are several, is that Trophimus did not recover from that illness. And again, I would ask, well, surely if anybody deserves long life, it would be Trophimus. Of course, we don't know how old he is. He could be 99 here, though I doubt it. But you know what? There is work for us to do here on earth. And when that work is done, the Lord calls us home. So he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. I didn't want you to do that which I wanted others to do. I wanted you to do that which I called you to do. And that work is now done. Trophimus, come and enter into the rest of your Lord. Again, I don't know. He might well have recovered. He might have popped on the next ship and, you know, continued and all the rest of it. But I do know he's not alive on the earth today. I don't think he's still there receiving medical attention. You know, his time has come. It might well be that Trophimus the Ephesian, that faithful man of God, received his ticket home in Miletus. His next destination was not going to be where Paul was going, but rather where the Lord Jesus was. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get ill. I would much prefer to be healed, and I know God can and does heal. And yet, God does use illness like a chisel, like a tool to refine and improve our character, to teach us to trust in him and not ourselves, to remind us that we are his servants. He is not ours. To teach us humility. Again, I have no evidence in scripture, and I wouldn't presume it, that, you know, Trophimus thought he was indispensable. But if he did, he knows he's not in verse 20. The work of the gospel can and did continue without him. And if the Lord took any of us, tragic though it may be, the work will continue. When our work is done and our time is over, the Lord will raise up others to fill our places. We have on our website a list of ministers for 200 years. And the majority of them are in glory. And I'm sure that, you know, there may have been exceptions, but I'm sure that by and large, when those men died, and some of them died here at Martin Top, the congregation were were sad and were troubled by it and may well have said, Lord, why? But other people came along and other people got converted and other people took over, other people took up the reins. And one day we will be called home as well unless the Lord comes in our generation, and the Lord will keep on working. But the point I'd like us just to perhaps conclude with, and I have already made it, is that Trophimus, I began by describing him as a useful believer and also as a mobile believer. But he was only ever a pilgrim in this world. Ephesus was not his home. Asia was not his destination. And Miletus, even if he died there, was not his resting place. He has, for the past, the best part of 2,000 years, been with the Lord and Saviour who bought him. He may have been sick. It may have been serious. It may even have been painful and demeaning. But the Lord used it, I think, to call him home. And we can trust the Lord. The hymn we sang just then reminds us that even what the world might call ill fortune, to a sovereign God, it's not ill fortune. He uses everything, the good and the bad, the lovely and the ugly. One day, we too will have a final sickness. One day we too will be left behind on the equivalent of Miletus, and one day we too will be called home from there. Amen.